Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power. We vinden het fijn dat iedereen 's morgens vroeg zijn bed uitkomt om te kijken naar dit programma. Of misschien zie je het later. Maar we vinden het geweldig dat zoveel mensen op zondagmorgen afstemmen. We hebben zo meteen een gesprek in de Crystal Cathedral met Ken Duncan. Een hele beroemde fotograaf die een bijzonder boek heeft gemaakt met allerlei foto's die in de voetstappen van Jezus gaan. Dominee Schoele spreekt over het thema de ware rijkdom. Nou, en als je denkt, wat is nou echt rijk, dan is dat niet direct geld, maar dan is dat wat anders. Dan kun je van binnen rijk zijn. En Nadia van Raam, fijn dat je er bent, kan daarover meepraten. Nadia, je hebt iets heel verschrikkelijks meegemaakt, wat bijna nooit bij jongeren gebeurt. Jouw aorta, dus je levensader, is gesprongen. En je bent voor de dood weggeraapt. En je gaat straks vertellen wat jou is overkomen. En hoe je er doorheen bent gekomen. En ze zit hier stralend. En dat is geweldig. Nadia is ook een van onze kijksters van Hour of Power. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar het goeiemorgen, good morning, zal worden uitgesproken. En we gaan zo meteen naar een geweldige bijbeltekst luisteren.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Good morning. And welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. It is a wonderful day to feel the presence, the warmth, and the love of God. He is surrounding us. He is here. And he's surrounding us with people who wish to express that love. So take a moment right now and extend the love of Christ to those who are standing next to you and behind you and shake their hand and say, God loves you, and so do I. Well, my father is here this morning, and he's going to be interviewing Ken Duncan. He is a fabulous photographer. Jim Poyt is going to be reading the scriptures this morning. He, of course, is our executive pastor. Musically, oh, we've got a wonderful morning of music. We have the inspiring tenor, Jason Catron. We have the classic pianist, Vivian Fan. We have Don Nguyen and the Crystal Cathedral Choir, Sean Groobridge at the magnificent Hazel Wright Organ, and Mark Riley in the Hour of Power Orchestra. And so, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are real, that you exist, that you come and touch people with your hope and your joy and your goodness. And so help us, O Lord, to open our minds and our hearts to receive your gifts today. The gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of love. Now we thank you, Lord, for your precious gifts. Amen.
Please be seated. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Don, tell us about the anthem you are singing today.
Thank you. About 900 years before the birth of Christ, in the land of the great prophet Elijah, Old Testament, the people had turned their separate ways against God, worshiping false idols and the false god Baal. At that time, a terrible drought came over the land. The people were dying by the thousands of starvation and thirst. Elijah prayed to God for a miracle, and a miracle very visibly was given through Elijah to these people. They recanted, they returned to the Lord God Jehovah, gave up their false gods, and almost immediately God sent rain to their drought-driven land. The people were saved, and the future harvests were assured. Now jump ahead to the 19th century, and the German composer Felix Mendelssohn wrote a 2-hour-long oratorio on the life of Elijah. And at this very point in the oratorio, he wrote a great song anthem of thanksgiving, thanking God for bringing water to the thirsty land and proclaiming that God the Lord is over all and almighty. As we sing it, we hope that you would think of the blessings God has given each of us. Blessings of help in need, blessings of peace, and blessings of indescribable love.
The winner of the International Prize of Grand Young Artists. And studying for your doctorate now at USC, right? Vivian, we love you. You can feel it. We admire you. You can sense that. Thank you for coming. I've been gone a few weeks traveling in the world because I had a very wonderful invitation to mainland China. They have opened two theological seminaries
which is pretty risky if a country wants to control the thinking of its people. And the Nanking Theological Seminary invited me to stop in and give them a lecture. They've heard about my work and wanted to meet me, so I was on Saturday morning, and no school, no students are there, but they came in from the country, and all 110 students were there, which I was very proud, and the entire faculty. And I gave, for the first time anywhere in the world, a lecture on the theology of possibility thinking. And it won such rave reviews that the faculty met immediately afterwards and invited me to come and join their theological faculty. And not for a year, I can't handle that. But I said I might give them a week. And so I'm working on a theology of self-esteem and a theology of possibility thinking. And I'll have the opportunity, because I have the invitation, to give that to young seminary students who will go out and start their churches on mainland China. It's phenomenal what's happening there. But I'm glad that I have an opportunity for the first time in my life to go there and pass on the positive gospel of Christ. So thank you for your prayers along the way. Now today we're welcoming back Australia's premier panoramic landscape architects, internationally renowned photographer Ken Duncan. Many of you have been here before when he was here, and you've heard him give his testimony that he was watching Hour of Power one Sunday some years ago in Australia, and the Spirit of Christ came through that program, touched him, and impacted him very deeply and very beautifully. We were chatting a minute ago about the scripture that was so well read. God waters the thirsty land. And I said, Ken, you were a thirsty land. You watched the Hour of Power. Christ came through, and he watered that thirsty land that we call Ken Duncan. It's wonderful. But now he's done a book in panoramic photography on the Holy Land, where Jesus walked. And this is the book. And I have to tell you, honest to God, no exaggeration, there has never in the history of photography been a book on the Holy Land like this. It is history's first walking where Jesus walked in his panoramic photography, and Ken Duncan is the premier, the award-winning, and without equal. Ken Duncan, thank you. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Schiller.
Wow, what drove you to write this book?
Well, after photographing on the Passion movie, that really sort of nailed me. I thought, you know, I was a Christian, but it made me realize the cost of my salvation. So after it, I thought, I've got to actually go and walk the walk of Jesus. Because when you go to the place, it's very important to understand where someone came from. So I thought, that's it, I'm going on the walk. And it was the most exciting walk of my life, because I became a Christian through faith and through you preaching to me on the television. So it was amazing. But when I went over there, all this evidence of the life of Jesus, it's so powerful. I don't know how anyone cannot believe in this man. So I thought, this is my way of sharing that story with others who may not be able to get there.
You know, there have been thousands of books of photographs of the Holy Land, and I've seen hundreds of them. They're all the same, but not this one. This is in a class by itself. Do you have a favorite picture in here, one or two?
Well, I have a few favorite pictures.
I'll bet you can find them quicker than I could.
Well, I'll see if I go for it. One of my favorites was on Mount Arbel, and this is this picture here. Because when I was over there, what I wanted to do is not just show you churches and places that have become holy and lots of people. I said, Lord, can you please show me places that haven't changed since the time you were there? And so he directed me to this mountain called Mount Arbel, which is just up behind Capernaum, which where Jesus spent a lot of time. And I got up there for sunrise, and when I went there, I had to catch a taxi and climb a mountain, and I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, that was a serious climb for you to get up on this mountain. And then while I'm sitting there watching the sun rising over the Sea of Galilee, I just felt the Lord's presence so much. And then I saw a shepherd come up right in front of me in an ancient little path. And I thought, how did you get up there? Can your sheep climb a mountain? And he said, oh, no, there's an ancient shepherd path, which is the shortcut down to Capernaum. And I thought, duh, that's how Jesus got there.
I can tell you without danger of being contradicted by anyone in the world, there has never been a picture of a sunrise in Galilee that comes close to this. True work of art. Got another one you want to show us?
You know, I put this one up on my wall at home, and there's that one of Bethlehem. Because, you know, I was there for sunrise over Bethlehem. And, you know, when you're there in Bethlehem, in the background of the mountains, and these are the mountains where the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, hey, there's something happening in Bethlehem. The Son of God has been born. That's the Australian version of the Bible. And and so they went there, but it's real. And you're sitting there watching the sunrise over, and you know, this is where Jesus was born.
Here, amazing. The ruins of a synagogue, but the pillars are still there. And I was here, and on the pillars are the names of people who gave their money to help build this place.
Exactly.
Interesting. Schuller's got a little idea from them.
Look, the only way God gave me a clear vision for this book, and it was just such a pleasure to be able to produce this book for Crystal Cathedral, because really, without this cathedral, I don't know if I'd even be here. You know, my life was a total mess. And so I can't do enough for this ministry to thank them for what they did in my life. So I encourage you, please, this is a wonderful gift to give to people. But the most important thing is also bringing life to this and keeping this ministry going and getting out there to touch people like me who were sitting on a bed just with no hope. And I saw this message, this man here, and I thought, wow. And it changed my life. So thank you, Dr. Schuller.
He watered the thirsty land, and then the land bore fruit. Photography, a message of Jesus. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Dr. Schuller. God bless you.
Wat is het geweldig als je zo momenten, dingen kunt vastleggen op de gevoelige plaat als Ken Duncan. En dan zie je ook hoe fragiel en hoe kostbaar het leven is. En Nadia van Raam, die vanmorgen mijn gast is, kan daarover meepraten. Op 25-jarige leeftijd werd ze getroffen door... Nou ja, Nadia, fijn dat je er bent. Vertel het zelf, wat gebeurde er met je?
Nou, eigenlijk wat er gebeurde was dat ik me al een hele tijd niet lekker voelde. En onrustig. En ik sliep niet lekker. Ik had nachtmerries. Maar eigenlijk, ja, had ik niet het idee dat er iets mis was. Ik was fit en ik sportte heel erg veel. En ja, het was even een vraagteken wat er nou aan de hand was. En eigenlijk dacht men dat ik een soort van burn-out had. En ja, misschien depressief aan het worden was. Maar ja, later bleek dat dat allemaal helemaal niet het geval was. Want in maart 2005, scheurde van het een op het andere moment mijn aorta. Dus je levensslagader eigenlijk.
Dat is toch heel ongebruikelijk dat zoiets bij jonge mensen gebeurt?
Het komt eigenlijk niet voor. Of je moet een bepaalde aandoening hebben aan je bindweefsel. Nou, ja, die heb ik niet. Dus het is echt heel ongebruikelijk.
Beschrijf het moment is dat het gebeurde. Voelde je wat of...
Ja, ik zat te eten samen met mijn vriend aan tafel. En ik kreeg opeens pijn in mijn keel. Ik denk, nou, ik verslik me of ik ben door iets gestoken. Ja. Dus ik ging water drinken. Ja, nee, pijn over mijn rug, naar achter. En we stonden eigenlijk al met het telefoonboek van waar is de doktersdienst. En op dat moment voelde ik mijn benen al niet meer. En dat deed alleen maar vreselijk veel pijn. Dus we zijn de auto ingesprongen en met een hele hoge snelheid naar het ziekenhuis. We hebben een scan gemaakt. Ik ben de ambulance ingegaan. Mijn moeder ging nog met me mee, dat wist ik wel. En vanaf dat moment is het zwart. En dan, ja, een aantal weken later word je weer een beetje wakker.
Twee maanden, hè?
Nou ja, in totaal heb ik 40 dagen op de IC gelegen.
Ja. Het chirurgenteam is begonnen om je aorta te repareren, zoals dat heet. Ik zie hier het hele litteken dat je open bent gemaakt van onder tot boven. Maar ze hadden weinig hoop, denk ik.
Ja, ze hadden echt zoiets van, nou, we gaan ons best doen. En ook als deze operatie lukt, dan nog kan ze met 2 weken toch nog zijn overleden eigenlijk. Ja.
Kom je bij je uit je coma, waar je zo lang in hebt gelegen, en dan krijg je alles te horen wat er gebeurd is. Wat denk je dan? Wat voel je dan?
Ik heb in die periode dat ik dan in slaap was, alleen maar de vreselijkste nachtmerries gehad. Ja. Ik dacht dat ik was ontvoerd en dat ik allemaal medische experimenten werden gedaan.
Nee,
dus ik was eigenlijk blij...
In je onderbewustzijn.
Dus ik was blij dat ik hoorde dat ik gewoon in het ziekenhuis lag in...
Nadia, ik zeg het met respect. Je vertelt me dat je niet christelijk bent grootgebracht of naar de kerk bent gegaan. Maar jullie kijken thuis wel naar Hour of Power. Geloof je nou dat God je doorheen geholpen heeft?
Ja, zeker. Ja. En dat is ook waar ik op gesteund heb. Voor mij gebeuren er geen fouten, geen vergissingen. Dus dit was iets voor mij op mijn pad. En daarom voelde ik mij ook geen slachtoffer.
Dat is knap om te zeggen.
Ja, ja, dit hoorde erbij. En,
Wat mij integreert is hoe je nu leeft. Want je hebt op hele jonge leeftijd heb je de dood in de ogen gekeken. Is het nu zo wat vroeger heel belangrijk was, dat het nu minder belangrijk is? Hoe leef je nu?
Ik ben anders moeten gaan leven.
Ja.
Sporten is weggevallen.
Want u was ook sportinstructrice, hè? Naast je gewone baan.
Ja. Vond ik heel leuk om te doen. Maar goed, dat wie weet komt dat ooit nog eens in een andere vorm.
Ja.
Dus de inhoud van je leven verandert.
Ja.
En je leert de mensen kennen om je heen en wie je vrienden zijn.
Ja.
Ja.
Hoe kijk je nu tegen het leven aan?
Het is één groot geschenk. En het is kwetsbaar. En daarom moet je het koesteren.
Dat is het ook. En ik denk dat we daar te weinig over nadenken als alles goed gaat. Frank van der Velde was hier vorige week. Die gaf mij een jongerenbijbel. Ik weet niet of je het gezien hebt.
Ja.
Leuk. Nou, en ik dacht, weet je wat? Ik geef hem aan jou.
Oh, wat leuk. Nou, ja, hartelijk bedankt.
Ja.
Hij ziet er mooi. Ja, oh, mooi. Ook leuk. Met kleuren.
2000 pagina's hoorde je vorige week. Dus je hebt voorlopig wat te doen.
Veel inspiratie.
Ja, oké. Okay.
Ja.
Hey. Yes. Fijn dat je er was en ik wens je nog heel veel mooie jaren toe. En als ik kijk naar hoe je ogen stralen, als dat een reflectie is van hoe je van binnen bent, dan ben je een prachtig mens, dat geloof ik ook. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral om te luisteren naar een verschrikkelijk mooi stuk klassieke muziek.
In pastures green, your softly whispers. songs extol you. And all the earth bows down before you. Master and maker, Lord and creator of all. You are the Lord, my God. You are the extol you, and all the earth bows down before you. Master and maker, Lord and creator of Master and Maker, Lord and Creator of all.
Jason, every once in a while I hear a voice that brings a tear to my eye. I was at a friend's birthday party a few years ago and heard a voice of a gentleman. I said, man, that guy can sing. And I said, he might go someplace. His name was Josh Groban. And I feel like I'm hearing another Josh Groban. I think this guy can go someplace. And I just appreciate your spirit, your love, music, and appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you. Appreciate being here, and your ministry as well. Thank you.
Thank you
for having me.
A 110 years ago, at the Democratic National Convention, a guy by the name of William Jennings Bryan stood before this convention and he gave a speech. And the speech was so stirring and so inspiring that they actually nominated him as for the President of the United States. And he ran. He lost, we know that, because we don't have him in the list of presidents. But he ran. He got the nomination. And one of the things he gave us was a quote that I love. It says, I suppose about all a man can do in this world is use or lose his opportunities. God gives people opportunities. And throughout our lives and throughout our paths, we come across these chances. Or these times where we can walk through the door or we can walk away from the door. But opportunities come. And there's a time where we have to step through there, we have to take action, and we have to engage, and we have to move forward in faith, knowing that God's going to be with us, and he's going to carry us through. It's opportunities. You know, the worst war in the history of this nation was, without question, the Civil War. There were more people lost in the Civil War than all of the wars that we have ever been in combined. And it is said that that war could have been shortened if the Union had had better generals. One such guy was General B. McClellan. And he had over 1 million troops to 250,000 troops on in the South. But he wouldn't engage. He was a spectacular planner. He could get everything in place, but he wouldn't engage. And the president, Lincoln, said, "If you're not going to engage, would you please loan me this army if you don't intend to use it?" And we know that finally the results were that the war ended. But the facts are that life is a series of opportunities that we have. Choices that we make, decisions that we intend to carry through, go through, or we walk away. And that's life. This morning I want to read a passage of Scripture. It's found in Timothy. Timothy 6, it's part of the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. And he shares with us these words, "But godliness and contentment, this is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into what many foolish and harmful desires that plague men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, people of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness and godliness. Pursue faith and love, endurance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called." We have opportunities every day. They come and we want to seize the opportunities, but we weigh the opportunities and some are just too much to bear. But more often than not, skepticism that holds us back from really moving forward with the understanding that this is the best way for us. A few years ago, I had what's called group activity tickets. We buy them here for our employees. Some of you may be familiar with group activity tickets. What you do is you buy a ticket to the movie in advance, and it's good at the theaters, and it's like a $3 discount. So I actually pay $6.50 for my group activity ticket, and I take that to the theater, and I get a $9.50 ticket. So I save $3 a ticket. Good deal, right? Well, I bought a whole bunch of them because my kids are always asking for them, and every time I want to give one to them, I run out. And so I said, "I'm going to buy 20 of these things. I don't want to run out and have to pay $9.50 for a movie when I can get in there for $6.50. So I bought a whole bunch of them. Well, just so happened that year, things happened, and I didn't use them all. And I noticed the expiration date was coming up in a couple weeks. And I had 4 tickets left over. My wife and I were going to the movie. And I said, "Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring these extra 2. I'm just going to sell them to somebody in line." Who would buy a ticket for $6.50 if the normal price is $9.50? Anyone here buy that ticket? Oh, a lot of smart people here. I got to the theater and there was a line about 50 people long to the window. So I figured, oh, good, this is a piece of cake. I'll just go to the first person here and sell them my tickets. I go, "Hey, do you want to sell a ticket? Do you want to buy a ticket for $6.50 instead of $9.50? And they look at me and they just Look the other way. I'm going, no, I'm serious. This is a group activity. Give me $6.50 for the ticket. You save $3. So I'm not interested. No, you gotta be kidding. So go to the next person. Wasn't interested. I think I went through about 15 people before I could sell a $9.50 ticket for $6.50. Why are people afraid to save $3? They didn't trust me, did they? They didn't trust me. They didn't believe that what I was selling them was what I was selling them. And they didn't believe me. And that's the exact situation we face when we look at the financial guidance that we receive throughout the Bible. The Bible is perfectly clear. And the math is very simple. And yet I teach this and I teach it and I continue to teach the basic principles of foundational spiritual guidance that we receive in the Bible. It's not me, I'm just reading out of the Bible. People just don't buy it. They don't believe it. And so I just keep going to the next one and the next one, sharing the principles that are within the Bible and letting people know. Hey, you give 10% to the spiritual guidance that you receive in life. Give 10% to your church, to the Hour of Power. And put God to the test and see if He will not bring blessings upon you that your storehouses won't be able to contain it. And I don't think they believe me. I don't think they believe the Bible. I don't think people have enough faith in God to come through and actually do it. It can't be more clear. But it's like 1 in 10, if I'm lucky, will go and buy it. Say, okay, I'm going to start tithing today. I'm going to make a commitment, and I'm going to start giving 10%. And the money that I receive just seems to keep stretching and stretching and stretching and stretching. I don't know how it works. I just know it does. And I know the Bible is very sincere and real and honest and true. And God says, test me in this and bring your tithes to the storehouse and put me to the test and see if I will not bring out such a blessing upon you. And He does. Because life is about opportunities. I've been talking about finances and money for quite a while, but you know what? I don't talk about it half as much as the Bible does. The Bible talks about it consistently. Let me continue reading from Timothy here. I'm just going to share the words of St. Paul to Timothy. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. These are not my words. I am simply reading from the Bible. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. That's a good idea. I think all those rich people should do that. I know that's what you're thinking, because I have, every time I meet somebody, they always refer to other people as being rich. When you donate money to this ministry, you're not only changing the world for you, You're changing the rest of the world for God. I was in Germany and I received many letters from Germany. Let me share you with one letter I received, the lady Heidi Scheibel. She said, I'd like to thank you very much for your endeavors to help and encourage so many people and also for bringing so many to the path where they can be and live with Jesus. We appreciate that you came to this country. I'm also so thankful to you. I began watching the sermons in 1989. Way back then, there was not the opportunity here in Germany to watch on the Vox channel. But your enthusiastic words about Jesus and about faith contributed a great deal to strengthening my faith. As I have lived my first 30 years of my life in a country where faith has been held back from people on purpose. I did not have the chance to grow up in an atmosphere of strong faith. And so during all these past 17 years, I felt that you, together with your father, were inspiring me and also were near me during the tough times. Thank you and best wishes. We have the greatest advantage of all in this country. We have opportunities. We have the opportunity to accept the grace of Jesus Christ, to accept the teachings that we find within His Bible, to stretch our faith and to put God to the test, and at the same time be a blessing to the world. And so this morning, I challenge you to make a decision to start somewhere. The blessings of God will truly overwhelm you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to give. So use us, O Lord, to be able to reach as many people as possible with your good news through our acts of faith by giving today. We love you, Lord. Amen. Now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you the faith and the assurance and the conviction to believe in the promises of God and to move forward in faith to receive his blessings. Today, tomorrow, and always, amen.
Almighty fortress is our God, the whole world's ever-failing. Our helper beyond is the flood, the God of his prevailing. For still our heads have fallen, crossing to the cross of his wrath and power are raised.
But our drift from the east, on earth his heart is eaten.
Did we make our whole strength confide, our sliding would be losing. Did we make our strength confide, our sliding would be losing.
Did we make our whole strength confide,
our sliding would be losing.
Did we make our whole strength confide, our sliding would be losing.
En met dit prachtige lied van het koor van de Crystal Cathedral, wat elke zondagmorgen om 5 uur het bed uitkomt om 6 uur te oefenen in de kerk, nemen wij afscheid. Ik wens iedereen een hele fijne zondag toe. Bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending. En wil je contact met ons houden? Dat kan. Kijk op www.hourofpower.nl. En ook deze uitzending is straks te zien op onze videostream. Kijk onder videokerkdienst. Een heel bijzondere service. Nou, fijn dat we zo'n inspirerende uitzending hebben kunnen meemaken met Nadia, die vertelde dat in de moeilijkste omstandigheden van het leven er hoop en licht is. En iedereen die dat even niet ziet of het niet ziet zitten, wens ik dat toe. Veel licht in je leven. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.
Heavenly angel songs extol you. Master and Maker, Lord and Creator of all. Master and Maker, Lord and Creator.